'Tis the season to stay inside and stay cozy. Right, Bethany?
Absolutely. And you want to feel cozy with clothes that are comfortable and well-made so that you don't have to keep buying new sweaters or new shoes or whatever because everything gets gross and pilled up, which is why we love Jenny Kane so much.
Gentle listener, Jenny Kane is this amazing West Coast California brand that embraces just easy, beautiful, timeless California classics, comfy sweaters, cardigans, home decor, blankets, and the mules with the fuzz inside. My friend Jessica's obsessed with her Jenny Kane mules because she's like doing Zoom all day, but her toes are really cozy.
I have one of their cardigans. It's black, just so comfortable and beautiful. And I know it's going to last a long time. I don't know a lot about California laid-back style because I am East Coast and really tightly wound, but I do love things that are signature pieces that last forever, and that's why we love Jenny Kane so much.
I am so obsessed with the classic everyday slim crew neck sweater. I have it in black. I've been wearing it every single day. Essentially, it's so cozy, it keeps me so warm, and it looks brand new.
So find your forever pieces at jennykane.com and get 20% off your first order when you use the code TASTE at checkout.
Now I'm going to spell that for you. That's Jenny, J-E-N-N-I, Kane, K-A-Y-N-E.com. Use the promo code TASTE for 20% off of your first order. Birdie, come here. Bethany, I can't make any promises that he's going to come say hi because he literally got so mad at me watching this movie yesterday. He's like, can we please watch anything else?
Wow. And I don't want to say hi to him anymore.
Herbert.
His name's Herbert?
Yeah, his name is Herbert. And so Bert is short for Birdie, come here. You say hi to my friend right now.
No, he's mad at me. It's fine.
He's so mad. He's so mad. We were cursing at each other over this movie. I'm sorry. Okay, let's get back.
Wow. Hurtful.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did.
Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your dry skin having, favorite sweatpants hoarding, I'll just keep buying nail polish to feel better friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your rebirthed, gingerbread coffee drinking, going to get a fake Christmas tree this year for the first time ever friend.
Amazing. And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world. And we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're talking about the movie Clue.
Yes, this is an extension of last week where you list a movie and then the other person watches it. Well, Kathleen, I made you watch my favorite movie, Clue.
Clue. Is it really your favorite movie?
It is. It's my favorite movie. It's a movie that came out in the mid-80s. It stars a lot of people like Tim Curry and Madeline Kahn. And full disclosure, gentle listener, we recorded, so this is Monday as we're recording now. We recorded the movie segment on Friday.
Yeah.
And I did not handle it well. Kathleen.
Okay. Like I wish, okay, I'm not going to lie. I wish that you had chosen the movie Clueless instead of the movie Clue. But I told my husband that we watched Clue for this episode and he's like, man, that's such a good movie. Mm-hmm. And I was like, is it really though? And he's like, I think we need to get divorced because you don't like that movie.
Well, and it wasn't until we recorded that on Friday that I realized how emotionally invested I am in that movie.
Yeah.
And spoiler alert, you didn't like it. And it was only after some reflection and discussion with loved ones that I realized I handled it so poorly. I got really defensive and I just, so I apologize.
I don't think you did, Bethany. I listen, I fully accept your apology. I accepted your apology when you texted me on Friday, even though I don't think you owed me an apology, but it kind of hits you hard. It's like, you know, when you think a meme is really funny and you are dying laughing and then you lean over and you show Dennis or your significant other and they're just like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, but this is the funniest meme I've ever seen.
Like there is a Rob Cantor video called Shia LaBeouf Live.
Okay.
And it is one of the funniest things that I have ever seen in my entire life. And I, in the past, have shown it to dates to see if they don't find it funny, we can't be together.
There's no future.
And there's no future. So anyway, the movie Clue was like a very formative film. It was one of the first films I remember watching with my parents.
Yeah.
It really got me started on loving quote unquote scary movies, because it's not terribly scary, mm-hmm. but it was for me as a little kid. Mm-hmm. Like, so, and scary, I have so bad, many emotional attachments to so many things in this movie. So I maybe shouldn't have shown you a movie so close to my heart.
No, it's okay. It's totally fine. Can we talk about your Thanksgiving for a second?
Yes. Yeah. So I told you before we started recording, Kathleen, Dennis and I canceled our Thanksgiving. Yeah. We were going to do it with his parents. Mm-hmm. We were going to have his parents over and do, you know, keep the windows open, have an air filter going, keep our masks on, but do a Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And after seeing how huge the numbers in coronavirus cases were last week, and they just keep spiking.
Yeah.
And I think on Thursday of last week, the CDC released a new set of guidelines for Thanksgiving, which involved like eating it outside,
yeah.
and everyone brings their own utensils, mm-hmm. and it didn't feel safe. His parents are a little bit older. So I'm only bringing this up because over the weekend I saw a lot of Friendsgivings with like 20 people in a room.
Oh, God.
Or someone on my Instagram went on a girls' weekend with like 6 or 8 women, and none of them were wearing masks, and they were all like cheek to cheek and in a restaurant. And I just want to remind people that we are still in the middle of a really bad pandemic, and the holidays are coming up, and we just want to make sure that like we have people around mm-hmm. to celebrate next year.
Next year.
You know, so I flew home from California yesterday. Gentle mm-hmm. listener, if you're confused, we recorded the Clue section of this podcast when I was still in California. So now I am back in New Jersey in my apartment, and I had a lovely flying experience on the way out to California. Mm-hmm. But yesterday on the way home, it was quite terrible. I mean, there were a lot more people in the airport, and there were some people there. I flew first class again. I was able to upgrade for mm-hmm. A very reasonable price. And oh, Bethany, I ended up with nobody next to me. It was ideal.
Nice. You get that space.
Yes. But then there, like a few rows in front of me, there was a guy in an aisle seat that I kept my eyes on. Every time the flight attendant wasn't looking, he was taking his mask off.
Yeah. It's really frustrating.
I wanted to say something, but it's like I just didn't have it in me to fight, but I should have. But so many times in my life, I've been that person who said something and then it ends up not well for me in the end. And in the airport, people were pulling their masks down to talk on the phone. And I was like, that's not how sound waves work, motherfucker, but yeah. whatever.
You yeah. know, like yeah, it's just, you know, I wanted to say something to the person who had the girls' weekend, and because someone commented on her page, like, did you all test negative before going on this weekend? And someone else just yelled at him and told him to mind his own business. And I'm like, but this is all of our businesses.
Yeah.
And
I know.
You know, and I said it on my Instagram over the weekend, none of us have really been asked to sacrifice like this before. And it doesn't mean that we don't have to sacrifice. It just means we've been lucky that we haven't yeah. had to sacrifice. But now we do for everyone. And so,
for everyone.
You know, I'm sorry that you had that experience, Kathleen. And I just hope everyone follows what they're supposed to be doing, because this is not a joke and this is not going away until we do something.
Let's talk about something happier for a second.
Yes, please.
Bethany, I really think that we manifested this into happening.
What happened? Is Keanu Reeves coming over for Thanksgiving?
No, he's not.
I'll flout all coronavirus rules if that's the
case. You know what? I would too. I honestly, yeah. Okay. So I was just reading an article on Harper's Bazaar, and I know some of our taste buds in the fan group on Facebook were talking about this. Bethany, a queer Christmas movie is coming to Hulu on November 25th.
It's about damn time. What's it called?
It's called Happiest Season. It's a Christmas romantic comedy which focuses on a lesbian couple who returns home for the holidays. It stars Kristen Stewart. She plays Abby, a woman who is set to propose to her girlfriend at Christmas. Meanwhile, Mackenzie Davis, she plays Stewart's girlfriend, Harper.
Love that name.
Love the name Harper.
Love that name.
Harper is a woman who has yet to come out to her conservative parents. Hijinks, understandably, ensue.
Question. I have one follow-up question. Yeah. Is one of them far too busy with their job to care about the holidays? Because if not, I want nothing to do with this movie. I don't care if it's breaking any barriers. Some woman had better be far too concerned about her job to have any time for love.
You know, Bethany, there are a lot of really famous people in this movie, including Dan Levy.
Oh, I love him.
Alison Brie, Audrey Plaza, amongst others. And I'm really looking forward to it. Kristen Stewart told Harper's Bazaar, I think I've wished to see a gay Christmas rom-com my whole life. Actually, she said that to People magazine. And she said, I'm so happy and proud that this is coming into the world. So, hey.
That's wonderful. When does it come out?
November 25th.
Wonderful.
Have you seen The Holidate on Netflix starring Emma Roberts?
No.
9 out of 10. Really good. You should watch it.
I will watch it and I will not be mean about it and I will be better. I do want to draw your attention to a video that I was shown over the weekend. This is a video that comes out of Florida and I'll find a way to link it in our show notes. There is a gator. I don't know if it's an alligator or a crocodile who, because of like severe weather, was seen walking around in the grass. And the reason it's terrifying is because the legs on this animal are significantly longer than they should be.
Oh, no.
This is, let me see this. The tweet got cut off, but it's a gator walking around during the hurricane in Naples. This damn crocodile has legs that are like twice as long as they should be. And so it looks like it should be able to walk upright. And I don't know why its legs have gotten so long. And wait. I know we have listeners in Florida. Can you please explain why the limbs on this thing?
Bethany, that's a dinosaur. That's not a
crocodile. It's a dinosaur.
That's a dinosaur. That scares me. That scares the shit out of me.
This thing could use a golf club. So my friend John texted it to me because his biggest fear is sharks with legs. And he thinks that we're one step away because this shark alligator is soon going to be able to walk upright. And the next step is sharks with legs.
Oh my God. That's hilarious. Awful. That's awful though. That's freaking terrifying, man.
It's like someone took an alligator leg and then put another alligator leg on top of it. And that's how long the alligator's legs are. Like that thing could run. They can run fast anyway. And now it could run twice as fast because the limbs are twice as long.
Twice as long. Well, speaking of things in nature, I have to say that my plants did better without me here than they do with me here.
Did your husband take care of them at all or no?
I only asked him to put a couple ice cubes in my baby orchid.
Yeah.
That was the only thing. So I definitely think that I'm overwatering my plants. I need to do some research on this.
I think you and I have that in common, which is we are helicopter parents.
Yes.
And it's my plants. They just wilt randomly and I add water and they're fine, but they wilt every 2 days. And I'm like, are you needy or am I overpaying attention?
You're overpaying attention. Bethany, I was gone for 10 or 11 days. Just ignore them for 10 days and see what happens because my plants are thriving.
That's so sad and hurtful.
I've been investing in some of those planters that you can hang on the wall and they double as art.
Yeah.
To surround myself with some green things. And I'm just going to put them on the wall and forget about them, I think.
Yeah. Or maybe like the plants don't get those hangers. Maybe the plants need to appreciate you a little bit more before they get to be displayed as art.
So now that you're going to skip Thanksgiving, it'll just be you and Dennis in your apartment.
In his, yeah. I'm taking the cats back over. We're doing a very small, like nice Thanksgiving. Our goal now is because there's no family around us, mm-hmm. we're going to just do Thanksgiving purely for Instagram.
Yes, because, of course.
What's the point?
Well, it makes you happy too. You know, something that I've been thinking about, we should start ordering Thanksgiving type grocery items now to be delivered.
Yeah.
Because I think that the stores are going to sell out of them. I mean, I'm quarantining because I'm back in New Jersey from a state that New Jersey requires you to quarantine from. So I'm going to be doing all of my groceries via Amazon Prime delivery.
Yeah.
But when I was in California, we did mini Thanksgiving before I left. And I went to Trader Joe's to get the seasoning that I've seen everywhere on the internet. So it's called Everything But the Turkey. And I went up to the guy that worked at Trader Joe's. I was like, where's your Everything But the Turkey seasoning? He looked at me and he went, Instagram sold it out.
It's tough. I was trying to find Dennis loves cranberry, like the jellied cranberry.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was Instacart. Couldn't find it.
Really?
Amazon. I had to order a 6-pack of it from regular Amazon.
You better find creative ways to use that throughout the year.
I know. We're going to Instagram the hell out of it for the next like 11 months or so.
Oh, all right, taste buds. Time for Clue.
Okay. I'm sorry in advance.
Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
It is so frustrating when you're like, hey, Echo, play this song. And Echo is like, I'm sorry, I don't have that in my music library because you're not an Amazon Music subscriber. And then you're like, freak, all I want to listen to is Miley Cyrus, Party in the USA. Why won't you play it for me?
Yeah. And if you're trying to get into the holiday mood and there's a particular song that you just love,
you need to give it a try. For a limited time, you can get your first 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited for free. That is access to more than 70 million songs on demand, ad-free.
Play Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on repeat into like spring of 2021, if that's what you want to do. If you want to stream for free, Amazon Music has you covered. And it's not just music. You can download the app to get access to millions of podcast episodes at no charge, including our podcast.
Yeah.
Plus thousands of music stations and top playlists.
Stream from your smart tower, stream from your smart TV, stream from your phone, stream from your computer, stream wherever the hell you want.
Listen at home or wherever you are. Your holidays will be merrier with fun, festive tunes. So remember, for a limited time, new subscribers can get 3 months of Amazon Music Unlimited for free.
All you have to do is go to amazon.com/acquiredtaste.
That's amazon.com/acquiredtaste to get your first 3 months of Amazon Music free.
It starts at $7.99 a month after your 3 months are up. New subscribers only. Terms apply. And this offer expires on January 11th, 2021.
All right, Kathleen, let's just get right into it. So I had you watch the movie Clue.
Yeah.
And Clue is a movie from 1980, I want to double check.
84, yeah.
Yeah, 84, 85, I think Wikipedia says five, but I think you're right, four. It's a black comedy mystery film based on the board game Clue.
Is that how you would describe this? Black comedy, not like terrible slapstick or something like that? I'm sorry. I know, Bethany, it was just, okay, anyway, continue.
Okay, so okay, I'm just going to give like a quick rundown of for people who haven't seen Clue. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. It's directed by Jonathan Lynn. He collaborated on the script with John Landis, who you've heard of. It was produced by Deborah Hill, who also produced the Halloween, first Halloween movie, and she's like done, she's just a powerhouse in production.
Okay.
You can actually get t-shirts that say a Deborah Hill production because she's just like this amazing woman in cinema. It also has Tim Curry in it, Madeline Kahn. It has Christopher Lloyd. Mm. It has just like this amazing ensemble cast.
Okay.
And it's based on the board game Clue. It's, and Kathleen.
You know, Bethany, listen, I'm trying not to be too negative. I was psyching myself up in the mirror this morning, but I have to say that this movie was so bad that it caused a fight between my brother and myself.
Oh, my God. Kathleen, I have to tell you, before you tell me why you hated it, this was the first quote-unquote scary movie I ever saw. My parents showed it to us when we were really little. And because it has a murder in it, and you see a woman like with a bullet hole in her head, even though it's fairly clean. This movie made me who I am today because it's a big, scary Victorian house. Mm-hmm. It's a very dramatic woman in all black.
Yes.
It's very funny, but it's murder. Yeah, and it's murder. People running around, and it's Tim Curry, and it's just like, there's been a murder. It's very dramatic. So
I have.
This movie is one of my favorite of all time.
So many, Bethany, I have so many pages of notes. Like, I don't know if you can see my notebook here, but I must.
Kathleen, why did you?
I must have 10 pages of notes that I took as I was watching this. First of all, I have to say that one of the most redeeming qualities of this movie is that the font in the opener is so cute. I love the font.
Oh my God.
The font is great.
I think it's like an 80s Clue font.
So I had to ask you this question too, because since you're the movie expert, why is the beginning of old movies so long? Bethany, the opening credits were 5 minutes.
Well, yeah, I mean that because it's just a style thing. Like they used to do that, you know.
But why did they do that? It's like, come
on, you can fast forward
because potatoes.
Well, and there was also like a period of time. I think this was after that, but like I think in the 70s, there used to be a rule that you had to have all of the credits in the front, and then it was only I think in the late 70s that was changed, which is why Star Wars can start with this title scroll because the rules changed, and so. There was this thing, and plus this film is such a huge star-studded cast, especially for the time.
Was it?
That I mean, they, at the time, yes, Kathleen, at the time. And so you wanted to get all of those names up front.
So based on the board game, these are some of my opening thoughts. Creepy old house, looks pretty cool. The man in the beginning is wearing a bowler cap. I like his bowler cap.
It's Tim Curry.
But I don't like him because he was very mean to the dogs.
No, he wasn't. He fed them meat.
No, he fed them just a little bit of meat on the bone because he then wants them to be ravished later so maybe they would eat a human. It's very mean to the dogs. And then he opens the door to the house. The decor in this house is god awful.
Kathleen, god awful. Old creep. What don't you? It's an old house. What don't you like about the decor?
There's black granite everywhere. It's like stone on stone. There's so much dark wood paneling. The black granite has this terrible white veining. It's just, I just don't.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
You continue.
Is there anything about the actual? I mean, okay. So. We're not going to like run down the entire plot.
Should, Bethany, to really give listeners the full effect of Clue, the movie based on the board game. Let's think of other board games that would make better movies.
Okay.
Connect Kathleen. Four.
What would you do with the movie Connect Four? How would you make the movie Connect Four, Kathleen?
I would rather watch people just play Connect Four for an hour and a half than have to watch Clue again.
You're a monster.
No, Clue should take a note from The Queen's Gambit. Chess is one of the most boring games ever. Ever, ever, ever. And they made a very exciting series about it. This, not so much.
This is the gist of Clue. So one by one, these people come to this old Victorian house and they're informed by Tim Curry, who calls himself the butler, that they're all going to be given aliases. So that's where you get like the Colonel Mustard, mm-hmm. Professor Plum, mm-hmm. Miss White. And they all are brought into this room. They soon learn mm-hmm. that they're all working in or around Washington, D.C. and politics, and they're all being blackmailed by the same person.
Wait, can we just rewind to Mrs. White for a second?
Yes, we sure can. Played by Madeline Kahn, who's freaking brilliant.
She walks into the house and Bethany, her nose wiggles and then she looks at the bottom of her shoes and I'm like, did Mrs. White, is she sniffing shit right now?
Yeah, so at the beginning of the movie, when Tim Curry walks in, there's a moment where he stops and realizes he stepped in dog poop and scrapes his shoe on like the shoe scraper and then comes in. So everyone who comes in after that sniffs because they sniff his dog poo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. But
this is,
you were probably furiously scribbling hate notes when that happened and you missed
it. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this is why I don't like Mrs. White, because then she walks in, she's like, oh, do I smell shit? And then she snubs the maid. She like looks at the maid. She's like, ew, you're the maid. So
yeah, but you
fuck Mrs. White.
We learn why afterwards, right? We learn why she does that.
No,
because there's like this sting. Yes, we do. Because there's this sting of dramatic music, so we know that something is going on there.
This is dating 101. If you go out on a date for the first time with someone or second time, and they're mean to the waitstaff, you can't date them any further because it means that eventually they're going to be mean to you.
Okay, but Kathleen, but remember at the end we learn that the maid slept with Mrs. White's husband.
Oh.
And that's why she doesn't like her. So did you stop watching the movie? What happened?
I started to doze towards the end and then I was just like I started playing Best Fiends. I was just trying to get through it.
Great. Okay, so you didn't actually. Okay, so gentle listener, ultimately someone kills the last man to show up. His name is Mr. Body. Get it?
Body. He's a body.
Body. Yeah. Someone kills him when the lights go off. The rest of the movie now is them figuring out who killed Mr. Body, where, and with what weapon.
So it's the game. It's the point of the game.
It's the game. So then the game is afoot, and then they all have to separate and go into the house in different rooms and try to figure out what happened, and secret passages are discovered, and like an off-duty cop shows up, and he gets locked in a room, and then like a driver shows up, he gets locked in a room. Mm-hmm. And the coolest part about this movie is that when it first came out, Kathleen, negative Nancy, when it first came out, there are three different endings to this movie. And when you watch it on Amazon Prime, you see all three endings. They're like, here's what could have happened. Here's what could have happened. But here's what actually happened.
Yeah.
But in the movie theaters, they were only given one of the three endings.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So different people got different endings to the movie. Oh. And so if you talk to your friends, they may have seen a different ending. And it was only when it came out on home video that all of the different possibilities were released, which I think is a really cool idea.
That's very cool.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Let's rewind for a second.
Sure.
So Miss Peacock this woman. So we later find out her name is Miss Scarlet.
Yes.
She's on her way to the dinner party, you know, and her car breaks down.
Sure does.
And So this is what I have in my notes. A woman with a broken down car pops her hood, pops her foot, and acts like a damsel in distress. Uh-huh. Okay. And yep. I just don't relate to women who are damsels in distress. It's just not something that I think is.
But she's not a damsel in distress because we find out that she's a madam and she uses her sexuality to get what she wants from people. Okay. So she's actually like screwing other people over by playing them with her sexuality.
I'm sorry. Talking about her, it's like I got something in my eye and it's just. Everything about this woman bothers me. Okay, so she pops her foot and she's like, ah, I need help. And then this guy, who you later find out is Professor Plum, he stops his car and he's like, hey, pretty lady, could I give you a ride? And then she gets in his car without vetting him first. Like, at least ask this person for his Instagram handle, his Facebook name, like, check him out before you get in his car.
I mean, it was the 80s.
Then they're like, oh, like, it looks like we're both going to the... to the same dinner party. Cool. And then they go and he helps her out of the car. And this is something that bothers me. He helps her out of the car and then shows her the way to the door like she's blind. Like she doesn't have eyes, puts his hand around her waist and then rings the doorbell and they're at the door, Mr. Professor Plum, whatever, and Miss Scarlet. And he cops a feel. He touches her butt.
Yeah. No, it's awful. That's awful.
He touches
her butt.
There's
some grossness. This movie isn't 100% wonderful. That's gross. There's a lot of like ogling women in this movie.
Yeah.
But there's some like light homophobia in this movie, which I also don't love.
Took notes on that. Yeah, there's definitely homophobia for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not blameless at all.
Okay. And then the dogs, they have to stay outside the whole time and it's raining.
Yeah, no, that's also not great.
But can we talk about Mrs. Peacock's outfit?
Mm. Sure can. So Mrs. Peacock is like an older politician's wife and she's definitely baddie.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a great job. So her hat has feathers coming out of it. So she looks like a peacock. She's awesome.
It looks like there's like maybe little butterflies coming out of her hat. Too, or is it just feathers?
She looks great.
Amazing cat eye glasses that have like rhinestones, and she's wearing a big peacock pin, and she's got these red lips. And then my favorite part is that she has these orange gloves, and then she's wearing a ring over the glove.
Do you see, Kathleen, why this movie had such an impact on me? Like, do you see?
Yes.
Okay, good.
There were a couple of points when I was like, oh, this movie describes a lot about why Bethany is the way she is. Especially the part about the double negative. I was like, oh, yes, this is why Bethany is the way she is.
I mean, there's a lot of wordplay. There's a lot of like, okay, so you like Miss Peacock's outfit.
Yeah.
So we got a one in the column of what Kathleen liked.
Okay. A little bit tropey. The house was like kind of okay and cool. And then all of a sudden there's a huge thunderstorm and now we're supposed to be scared. Boom, bang.
Well, Kathleen, it's a comedy. So they're like playing on the tropes.
Okay.
They're winking at us, you know? Yeah. They're like, haha, it's a, you know, of course it's a mystery.
Yeah.
There's thunder and lightning. It's getting exciting.
Okay. I'm going to drink my coffee while you keep talking.
Okay. So, I think the really exciting and creative thing about this movie is that there are moments that are scary. Like at one point, all of the lights disappear. You hear a gunshot and people scream. But then there's also every time you watch this movie, you get something else that you didn't notice before. Like there's little looks that people give each other or there's little asides. Or at one point, the entire cast has to sing for She's a Jolly Good Fellow, and they're all singing it, but Mrs. White in the background is doing harmony. And so everyone's like singing for She's a Jolly Good Fellow, and Mrs. White is like, da da da, da da da. And it's very, very, very funny.
Okay, you never really find out. Oh, I guess you do at the end, but in the beginning, they're like, who owns this house? Like, who invited us to dinner? And it's, I find that kind of weird. Also, why is everyone so dressed up? It's like a dinner party. You don't have to wear ball gowns. It's just you wear business casual to a dinner party.
It's 1954. Of course you would wear something like that to a dinner party.
Oh, is that the year that this is supposed to be? I couldn't even tell, Bethany.
Kathleen, at the beginning of the movie, there's a title card that says 1954 or whatever the year was. Like it says, what were you looking at the screen at all when you watched this?
Maybe I was taking too many notes. Speaking of my notes, okay, why do they start dinner before Mr. Body gets there? Because that's like, that's rude.
Kathleen, okay, I think we need to stop this and like wait for you to actually watch the movie because every question you have has already been answered. Like one of the women says like, shouldn't we wait until Mr. Body gets here? And someone else says like, no, eat.
Okay.
You know?
Let's talk about dinner. The cook presents as Asian I later looked up that the actress was Hawaiian, so she's Polynesian. And then she announces a dinner is ready by hitting a gong.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Scares everyone. I want a gong.
No, I mean, I think it's fucked up that the Asian cook hits a gong and is like, dinner's ready. And then she's serving shark soup. Isn't that an illegal soup?
I think so. You know what? I didn't even put together.
It's an illegal soup.
Like the Asian presenting. I didn't even put that together. I just thought a gong was like dramatic and that's why she banged it.
And I know I'm looking at this 1984 classic. Okay, like classic.
It's classic. A cult classic. It bombed. To the classic. Box office.
I know I'm looking at this movie with a very 2020 eye.
You
but
are.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I can't.
Okay, no, that's okay. So, I mean, it's good to hold things up to a standard. And also, you know, it shows how much we've learned, right? Like, that's great.
Yeah. I think one of the most relatable parts of this movie was when they were all slurping their soup.
Yes.
Because I, too, am a very loud eater. So.
So.
Preach.
So, I'm trying like really hard.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying. I'm writing down what you liked. So you liked the peacock outfit and you liked the soup slurping.
And I like how they're always drinking champagne. Like there's a lot of alcohol in this and a lot of it champagne. And I'm a champagne lover.
Always drinking.
I love a good bottle of $11 Corbel Brut. So good.
Me too. Okay. Two of my favorite movie lines of all time are in this motion picture.
Okay. I think I know what you're going to talk about.
Ooh. Tell me. What do you think
Sorry.
It is?
No. You go.
Okay. One is when they split up and they go searching and.
Okay. So. Bethany.
Yes.
Yes. I know you're trying to get to the part where they're searching for the murderer in this creepy house.
Yeah.
But I want to go back to when they're still eating dinner.
Yeah.
So they like kind of like share what their jobs are. They've realized that they're all sort of like in the government circle in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And then this really creeps me out. Professor Plum is like, oh, I work in family planning for the World Health Organization.
Yeah.
So creepy. Just like the word family planning, when men use that word, I don't like it because – it's like it's almost like a drug dealer being like, oh, I work in pharmaceuticals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that always has struck me as very strange as well. I don't disagree with you on that.
This is 15 minutes into the movie, and I realize at this point that creepy Professor Plum is the old crazy guy with the white hair from Back to the Future.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, it's Christopher Lloyd.
Despite only being filmed 1 year previous to the first Back to the Future movie, he looks totally different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's great.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So two of my favorite, I mean, he's an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He transforms physically as well as his personality.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so it's at the dinner table and Butler Watt in his pants is like.
Okay. His name is Tim Curry and he is a national treasure, an international treasure.
Wadsworth, but Watt in his pants, Butler reads this letter and explains why they're all sitting there eating shark soup. And he's like, it will be presented to your advantage to be present on this date because Mr. Body will bring an end to a certain long-standing, confidential, and painful financial liability. Okay.
Right. So they're all being bribed.
Words. What does that mean? Words. I mean, it's just like a painful, confidential, financial liability.
Okay. So we're – remind me that when I have a giant gala where one person gets murdered, I will specifically write your invitation very differently.
This – I would love to see a remake of this with much better decor, something that's a lot funnier. And
it's very funny. You just weren't paying attention, Kathleen. You were looking down and playing Best Fiends the entire time, and you're missing all of the funny glances people are giving each other, all of the stumbling and the throwing and the looks and the quick humor because you were busy being negative on a notepad.
No, okay. But Mr. Body arrives and then immediately puts his hand up the maid's skirt. He's like,
because he's an asshole. And we also find out later that like the maid was working for Miss Scarlet as, you know, a lady of the night.
Okay. All right, Bethany, you continue.
So, but no person should ever put their hands up any other person's skirt.
Okay.
You're correct in that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So two of my favorite lines of all time. They've split up and Tim Curry and Miss Scarlet are searching together and they're going into like a very scary dark room and they're both very frightened. I think they're the ones who are together. And Tim Curry goes into the dark room and he goes, if anyone's in here, just look out, which I think is very funny because it's no way scary or frightening.
Yeah.
And then my other favorite is at the end, in one of the endings, Mrs. White, who's very dramatic, she's talking about the woman that her husband slept with.
Yeah.
Who is, spoiler alert, Yvette the maid.
Okay. Yeah, I missed that part. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Who does not actually have a French accent in real life. She's faking the French accent for the movie and later has no French accent later in the movie.
Yeah.
So we find out she's a fraud.
Okay.
Mrs. White is talking about how she hated her so much she had flames on the side of my face. And there is a gif of Mrs. White saying flames on the side of my face. And it is one of my favorite movie lines. And if you say it to someone and they get it, you know they're a cool person. It is the best way to explain a huge level of hatred. It is brilliant. And I hope that you would go back and rewatch this motion picture so that you can see all these wonderful little nuanced things you were too busy hating on because you were writing down things about the movie that you didn't like the white vein and the black marble.
I mean, so many notes. Okay, but okay, I have to say that I wrote, the kitchen is the best part of this movie. All white hexagonal penny tile floors, white subway tile backsplash, butcher block countertops, slitted glass windows. Okay, the kitchen is truly beautiful.
It is stunning.
But then Mrs. White also has a line that I wrote down in the movie that I thought was really fabulous.
Okay.
And she says, husbands should be like Kleenex, soft, strong, and disposable.
Mrs. White and Daphne from Scooby-Doo are really who made me who I am. Like, those two women are really, like, who I aim to be. I did think about you at one point when Wadsworth falls to the floor, and we just see his head on the floor, and behind it is white penny tile, and I immediately thought of
yes,
you.
Yes, I love a good white penny tile. I do.
Yeah.
I really do. Yeah. You mean Mr. Wad in his pants? Wait, I'm trying to find, where did I leave off in my notes? Then all of a sudden, dinner is over. Okay, they don't even finish dinner, so terrible dinner party. They're hungry. They're hungry.
They are hungry. And that, but you know what? That is a good indication of where they are mentally the rest of this movie because they're all stressed out because they're starving.
They're
so hungry and they're probably not thinking straight.
No, you make a good point. You do. You make an excellent point. Let's see. And as if it couldn't get any worse, Miss Scarlett starts smoking inside. That's all. That's one of my notes. She lights up
So
inside.
Can I ask you a question? At what point did you and Bert start fighting and over what did you fight?
He wanted me to turn it off. And I was like, no, I have half an hour left, please.
Okay, so it was an hour in. I will say this movie is 90 minutes, which is perfect. Because that piece of canned garbage that you made us watch last week was 2 hours long.
Yeah. Yeah. So at one point I have in my notes, goodness gracious, jelly balls. I've written 6 pages of notes and we've only gotten through 18 minutes of this movie.
What? Okay, tell me this. What percentage of your notes were interior decor based?
The study. Okay, so Mr. Wad and his pants butler is like, okay, everybody go to the study. And then I wrote the study. The furniture is awful. The couches look like red toes. The carpet has like these gray speckles. And the coffee table is this awful dark brown and bronze color.
Back to the couches look like red toes?
Yeah, the couches look like red toes. The only thing I do like about the couches, and this is like a quality of the 1950s, where the bottom of the couches had that really luxurious fringe so you couldn't see under the couch. Like, can we please bring that back?
So even if your holidays are going to be spent over Zoom with your family instead of in person, you still want to look nice and pulled together, but maybe money is a little tight, especially around the holidays. That's why Kathleen and I have been obsessed with e.l.f. Cosmetics far before we started partnering with them. e.l.f. Cosmetics is my favorite because they are high quality products at a very low price point and they don't test on animals, which is so hard to find with affordable cosmetics.
You know, I am finding a really hard time spending a lot of money on makeup when all I'm doing is sitting home these days. But Bethany, I have to tell you, the e.l.f. Shimmer Highlighting Powder, Bethany, is $6. It works just as well as the stuff that I spend $45 on. I'm obsessed with it. The putty primer, which is what you introduced me to not that long ago.
Yeah.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, and when we're trying to limit the places that we go, maybe you don't want to walk into a separate store that's just filled with makeup and thus filled with people.
Yeah.
You can get e.l.f. Cosmetics at Target, at Walmart, at Walgreens, wherever you're probably going already. I'm obsessed with their Ride or Die lip balm. I'm wearing the Just Peachy color right now.
Yeah.
And they also have these amazing lip stains.
Yes.
Which I hadn't tried a lip stain before, but they are wonderful. It doesn't cake up your lips. It literally just stains them with color, but you know, the stain goes away at the end of the day. They're amazing.
I'm loving the Deep Dahlia, the sheer matte liquid lipstick. Deep Dahlia is my color for the holidays because it's like sort of like a darkish purple, and I'm feeling a little dark this holiday season. I don't know about you.
Absolutely. Everything is 100% vegan and cruelty-free, and e.l.f. products make the perfect gift too. So at these prices, you can put together a full face gift bag or like a self-care package, whole skincare routine, and it's not going to cost you a gajillion dollars.
Have you been on their website lately? They have so many amazing little holiday kits with all different types of colors and products in it. e.l.f. Cosmetics is doing the work for you.
So right now, as an exclusive offer for podcast listeners, you can get 25% off of your e.l.f. purchase of $40 or more. Think about how much $40 is going to get you.
It's a bucket of makeup.
Yeah. So go to elfcosmetics.com/taste and then use the promo code taste to get the exclusive offer.
This is the best deal out there right now, and you won't find it anywhere else. So again, that's promo code taste, T-A-S-T-E, at elfcosmetics.com/taste for 25% off of your e.l.f. purchase.
I don't know, Kathleen, if you looked at my Instagram at all last week, but I posted a picture of food.
I did. I was shocked.
It was food that I was cooking. I was cooking a food. And that is because I am trying to be more aware of the food I put into my body. And that has caused me to go into a kitchen and cook. So I'm glad we're partnering with HelloFresh right now.
HelloFresh is America's number one meal planning kit. Gentle listener, I hate food waste. I don't know about you. I just hate going to the grocery store, buying all the stuff, then I get home and I don't know what to do with it. And that is why I love when my HelloFresh box comes to my house with exactly what I need for the week's worth of dinners or lunches or, you know, whenever you want to make it, and nothing goes to waste.
Plus, you're not just getting the same meals over and over again. You get delicious and nutritious variety. So they're giving you high quality pre-portioned ingredients, and over 90% of those ingredients are sourced directly from growers to ensure peak flavor and ripeness.
Oh, Bethany, the other day from HelloFresh, I made the most delicious thing. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
It was a Middle Eastern chickpea bowl.
Ooh.
And it had pistachio rice and roasted tomatoes and this garlicky white sauce. It was vegetarian. It was so dang good.
I didn't even know pistachio rice was a thing.
Sure is.
By the way, HelloFresh is flexible for your lifestyle. So you can change delivery days. You can change meal plan preferences. They want to make sure that you get exactly what you want when you want.
And another thing that I love about HelloFresh is that they are the first global carbon neutral meal kit company. And everything that they ship you your food in is almost made entirely from recyclable products or stuff that's already been recycled that they've repurposed.
So go to HelloFresh.com/taste90 and then use the code taste90 to get $90 off, including free shipping. One more time, that's HelloFresh.com/taste90 and use the code taste90. Okay, so I'm learning so much about you, and this is really the bonus of watching these films that the other person hates, is that it really shows us, you know, who the other person is inside. So I think that there's actually very little, correct me if I'm wrong, very little about the plot that you didn't like or like the acting. It was more that you didn't like the art direction. You didn't like what the scenery looked like and you didn't.
No, I mean, I do have a note somewhere in the back after I talk about the homophobia in this movie about.
Yeah, it's not great.
How I like had to look up the meaning of slapstick because I was like, is this movie kind of slapsticky? And then I wrote, I do not like slapstick.
I'll be honest. I also do not like slapstick.
Yeah.
But I feel like if it's a the Three Stooges kind of stuff, like, does nothing for me.
Yeah, me neither.
But this movie, I feel like, is so, I think because it's pretending that the characters are so glamorous and so classy.
And then you find out how awful they all are.
Right. And but in this glamorous setting with these classy, well-dressed people, to have someone literally do the where they put two fingers in someone's eyes and they fall to the floor.
I wrote about
that. That's very funny. Like, I think that's a very funny juxtaposition
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess they all find out they're being blackmailed, as we've said multiple times. That's the main plot point. But so they're all like, okay, I'm just going to leave. Like, okay, you're blackmailing me and you're going to call the police and I'm just going to leave. And then it's so fucked up butler wad in his pants is like, nope, bars on the doors and windows, bitches, mm-hmm. you stuck. And at that point, that is really terrifying.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
It's so scary. Mm-hmm. And this is a scary premise. Yeah. All of these people. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you this, Kathleen. If mm-hmm. somebody invited you to a party, you got this mysterious invitation to a home that you'd only seen upon driving through town, but you've never been to.
Yeah.
Would you go?
Probably, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you? I mean, I would bring weapons and I would maybe like wear those glasses where I can live stream from like the corner of my glasses so people could like watch my murderer if I got killed. But,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would go too, but I would absolutely like have my phone recording things the entire time and I would bring several concealed weapons. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here's another question.
Yeah.
What is your ideal movie setting for this type of film?
Well, you know, Bethany, one of the reasons why I love rom-coms so much is because Nancy Meyers, famous rom-com movie maker, Nancy Meyers, Something's Gotta Give, that one with Anne Hathaway and Robert De Niro, The Intern.
Oh, yeah.
There's a whole slew of movies that I'm not naming. Nancy Meyers is famous for having the best decor in her movies. And really a very rich, beautiful setting in a movie, it makes the movie for me.
So if a movie has what you would consider a bad setting, it's so distracting to you that it really does throw off the rest of the movie.
Unless, like Brian Larson, you know, she was in that movie where she's stuck in the same room the whole time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a good movie, even though the room that she's stuck in is not so beautiful.
And how were you able to get past the setting of that movie?
Because it's a good story.
Okay, so you didn't like the story. So there wasn't a part of you when, I think it's Wadsworth who says, okay, we need to figure out who killed Mr. Body in which room with what. There wasn't a part of you that got kind of tingles because like he's setting up the board game. Like it's, here it is, and now the game is afoot. There wasn't a part of you that got like real excited by that.
Okay, I made a note about that. This movie, based on the game doesn't actually start until 28 minutes into the movie. Can we talk about how awful some of these people are? Which is why this movie is hard to like. There's not one likable character. You find out that all the reasons why they're being blackmailed, Professor Plum had sex with his lady patients. He was a doctor.
Yeah.
Whose MD license has now been taken away. He had sex with his patients.
Yeah. I mean, no, that's not good. But there are so many movies where all of the characters are unlikable. Like,
Mrs.
What's that friggin' movie, How I Met Your Mother? There's not a single likable character on that show. I would argue all of the characters are the worst. Yeah. Or
I've never seen that.
Do you watch Veep? Have you ever watched Veep?
Not really.
One of the best shows that's ever been made for television. Every single character on that show is a deplorable human being.
Mrs. Peacock takes bribes from lobbyists and then convinces her husband to vote a certain way based on what the lobbyists want.
Look, sometimes you have to take bribes from a lobbyist. Like, what are you going to – wait, what? No.
Bethany, you
sometimes
don't –
you have
– that is, as a public servant in the Senate –
she's not a public servant. Her husband is a public servant. Right. She's just along for the ride.
Okay.
You know, look, make that extra money.
Miss Scarlett runs a brothel, which I think is empowering.
Sex work. It's the oldest job in the world.
I think that's empowering. So I think Miss Scarlett's my favorite so far.
Yeah. She's got a great dress too. You have to admit the outfits in this movie are amazing.
Yeah. Mustard. He is a client of Miss Scarlett's mm-hmm. brothel. So mm-hmm. that's why he's being blackmailed, I think, right?
He's paying probably, hopefully, a livable wage to a woman with a certain set of talents who, gives him what he needs.
I will say I was like strangely uncomfortable at one point in the movie because Colonel Mustard – well, the butler's like, Colonel Mustard, you know, for someone who's just a colonel – and AKA, like, he really works at the Pentagon. He's working on top secret stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, you drive such a nice car. And Mr. Colonel is like, I made my money when my mommy and daddy died. Listen, I'm not casting judgment, but just in that moment, that watching a grown man say mommy and daddy on camera, I was like, I don't know. It makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
But that's that's the joke. Is this grown man says mommy and dad? I think maybe it's not your sense of humor.
That is when I realized that I know Colonel Mustard as the principal in the original Sabrina the Teenage Witch series.
Is that where I know him from? Mm-hmm. See, I told you it's A-list superstars. Look at that. Mm-hmm. What is your favorite comedy of all time?
Comedy?
Yeah, because now I'm trying to get a read on what kind of comedy you like.
Comedy?
Yeah, you know, movies that make you giggle. Ugh. Movies that don't necessarily, they're not all about falling in love.
Let's see. I love Home Alone.
Kelly, that's slapstick.
Yeah, but it's so much better than this.
That's literally a little kid throwing paint cans down a stair so that guy's whoop onto their backs. Look at you. Kathleen, this is the same thing.
I love Knives Out. That's a recent one. Knives Out. I thought that was great. Jojo Rabbit. I thought that was great.
Wait, you liked Knives Out, but you didn't like Clue.
No, because Knives Out has beautiful settings. The cinematography in Knives Out is fabulous. And also the house in A Home Alone is really such a good house too. Easy A, that's a good one. Superbad, love Superbad.
So you're not, I have no words.
Bring it on. That's a good one. Mean Girls, so good.
The school doesn't have beautiful decors in Mean Girls.
Yeah, but it has beautiful girls, so. Okay. Mrs. White is being blackmailed because her husband died in a mysterious way.
It's like when you let someone read your journal and then they like correct you on your grammar.
Yeah.
And tell you that you're being overdramatic and like things aren't that like it's like when you build a house of cards and then show it to someone and they sneeze and like topple it over or, you know, when you like paint a portrait.
I understand what you're trying to
say. Of someone and they... And it's taken you maybe like a year and a half of just like consistent, really hard work. And you've like lovingly portrayed them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can tell that you put so much of your own just deep love for this person into the portrait. And then they look at it and they're like, can you do it again? Because I don't really like what I'm wearing and my expression is weird. And
so
it's like you.
I will say one of my favorite parts of the movie is when you find out that Miss White is being blackmailed because her husband died in a mysterious way. And the way that he died was that his head was cut off and his penis.
Yeah. Mysteriously.
His penis was cut off too.
I also like it then when she was married to a guy who disappeared and she goes, well, he was an illusionist. That was his job. And the guy's like, but he never reappeared. And she's like, he wasn't a very good illusionist.
Mr. Green
stands up
and he's like, I work for the State Department and I'm a homosexual. And then everybody in the room is like, ew, you're a homosexual?
I know. I do not like that part. And I'll tell you this, every time I think about how much I love this movie, I forget that that's in it. And then when I rewatch it, I'm always like very disappointed. Be warned, gentle listener, like that is in there and it's not great.
Let's see, looking at my notes. Okay. So one of the best parts in this movie as well is that when they eventually find out that Mr. Body, quote unquote, I mean, it's not really true. You find out later on, it's not true. They're like, oh, Mr. Body, he's the blackmailer. And then Colonel Mustard literally is like, Mr. Body, you're the blackmailer. And he winds his fists and he's like, put him up.
Like an old Irish boxer.
And Mr. Body is like, I'm not going to take this from you. Stomps on Colonel Mustard's foot and then pokes him, does a double poke in both eyes.
Yeah.
That's savage.
I mean, it's very stupid.
That's savage.
It's very stupid.
Poking someone in a double poke both eyes, that hurts so bad.
It does, but it's also a good thing. And I completely forgot that the double eye poke was even a thing you could do. But it's like, it's a really good look. If someone's like getting up in your face and you're physically in danger, maybe they have a knife. I don't know. Poke them in the eyes.
Double eye poke.
Like you don't have to double eye poke. You don't have to do anything like really dramatic or some sort of like amazing twisty move. You can just poke them in the eyes, knee them in the junk. If they don't have junk, poke them in the eyes, knee them in the junk area anyway. It's probably just going to be shocking if nothing else. And then you run.
Mrs. White eventually knees Mr. Body in the junk. And then Miss Peacock is in the back cheering like she's at a Vegas craps table. She's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's very fun. It's very fun.
Yeah, that's a good part.
So there's a moment in this motion picture too that is the epitome of what I want my life to be at some point. And I've talked about this before on the pod. Okay. Mrs. White is so angry and she can take it no more. Mm-hmm. And she throws her glass of brandy into the fireplace.
Yes. Yes. There's a
and you hear this delicious shattering of glass. And there is no better way to express just truly your level of disdain and despair for a situation than tossing something glass into a crackling fireplace.
I do have to say, there's a lot of beautiful glassware in this movie. Like, there's a lot of beautiful decanters. I always think people who keep alcohol in decanters, they're much fancier than I am.
Oh, absolutely.
Or people who air out their wine
before
they drink it, because I just pour it right from the bottle to my mouth.
Same. I once went on a date with a guy and we were at his place. He poured two glasses of red wine. We had two glasses of red wine. Then we went out for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And when we came back, he poured two more glasses of wine and he's like, "This is aired out for a while now. It'll be a completely different wine experience." And I was both impressed and also hated him.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you're pretentious.
You're very
But also I'm really excited to see how the wine has changed.
Yes.
Am I going to make out with you? Absolutely. But am I rolling my eyes? Absolutely.
I think I know who that was. You know, some people put their red wine in a blender. When you buy cheap wine, you can put it in a blender.
What?
Yeah.
Doesn't that froth it up in a weird way?
It makes it better. It aerates it.
Oh, that's a very not classy way to do something very classy.
Yeah, it's like when you're in college and you put the cheap vodka through a couple of layers of coffee filter.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Okay, let's cut to the chase, Bethany. Mr. Body is dead. The maid is dead. Now they have to figure it out.
The body is dead. The maid is dead. The cook is dead. The singing telegram lady is dead. The police officer is dead. And the motorist is dead.
Okay, so
six people, or as they say in the movie, it's starting to get serious.
These weapons are like not, these weapons are not really a pipe, a candlestick, a wrench, a vibrator, the George Foreman grill, a spork. I mean, these weapons are.
Kathleen did it in the detached garage with the George Foreman grill.
Okay. At one point, I think I spotted a taxidermy hyena on the wall, and that I did appreciate because I was like, wait a minute, is that a taxidermy hyena?
They're rich. They can have whatever they want.
They can, yes. Let's see. Notes. Okay, so the butler reveals that his wife was being blackmailed, and then she killed herself.
Yeah, she's being blackmailed because her friends were all
socialists. Which, in this political climate, Bethany, I was laughing my ass off.
Oh, wait, what? You liked a part? Oh.
Yes. The okay. butler's wife was being blackmailed because her friends were socialists, and everyone was aghast. They're like, ugh.
And then Tim Curry's like weeping. He's like, no one's perfect.
I know. And so then you come to find out that they're being blackmailed because these things that they're doing are very un-American.
Yeah, yeah. He considered you all very un-American.
And so you have to remember, like, this is the Cold War era.
Yep.
So I guess, like, the worst thing that you could do is be un-American, ?
Yeah. And at one point, J. Edgar Hoover is on the phone.
Yes.
And the police officer says, why is the head of the FBI, J. Edgar Hoover, on your phone? And Tim Curry goes, he's on everyone else's phone. Why shouldn't he be on mine? Again, very funny.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to write down that you liked the J. Edgar Hoover line.
Yeah, that was okay. And then I'm at like page 8 in my notes. I'm looking here.
Oh, wow.
Yes. A stranger shows up at the door. Uh-huh. The stranger is a motorist, comes to be known as the motorist. Yeah. The stranger is like, oh, my car broke down. Mm-hmm. Can I use your phone? Mm-hmm. Okay. So they let him in the house with all the dead bodies.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have dead bodies in your house, don't let someone in to use your phone.
Yeah. I think they were probably concerned that if they didn't let him in, mm-hmm. he might find another place to go, and then he would like talk about how weird they were all acting, and it might raise suspicions, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean
so then the motorist gets on the phone and he's like, I don't know. I'm locked in a room. I'm starting to be a little bit worried. It's like, dude, you're just starting.
Yeah.
You're in a strange house and they locked you in the fucking parlor, dude, okay?
I mean, it was a much more trusting time. You know, it was the 1950s. Everyone was real different then. I think we hadn't really lived through any of the big dramatic things in life, like baby Jessica falling into a well, or like, like My Favorite Murder becoming a podcast. Like those two big things, I think, really changed how we perceive the world.
Yeah. Angela Lansbury debuting Murder, She Wrote.
Hadn't happened yet. So I think, you know, I think we all grew up a lot after maybe Jessica got out of that well.
Maybe.
And the world became just a little bit more of a dark place.
Yeah. Okay. So now in my notes, I say at this point, now they're all drawing straws. And I don't even care. They're all criminals. There's so much wood paneling in this house that it's criminal. They break into pairs. The end.
So that's how you synopsize the movie.
I said, I wish the cops would come and take the wet bandits away.
So
will someone please let the dogs in the house?
Okay. So I just have like one, I guess I have two more questions. Okay. The first question is, how could you like the movie Home Alone, because like the wet bandits are bad, but you like them and you like that movie.
A couple of parts of this,
like, do you
movie,
only like movies where like the people are morally upright? That's like your qualification for liking a film.
You know, I can't even tell you why I didn't like this movie, Bethany. I do like that the house has secret passageways.
It does. I know, it's so great. I want one. One goes through the kitchen, so you have to walk through hanging meat, which I think is very clever because, you know, you really have to, like, want it.
Yes.
To find it.
Yes.
My other question for you, Kathleen, I won't make you talk about this for much longer because I know you're really just sort of in a hellish landscape right now of your own mind. Where would you invite people to come if you had to call them out on their bullshit that they're doing to you and see if they'll pick each other off one by one? What would be your ideal setting for eliminating the people in your life who are doing you wrong?
I would visit them each at their own separate apartments and just take them out like that. Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, another part. I have this in my notes, Bethany. I'm starting to doze when all of a sudden they are making sexual advances on dead bodies.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Okay. So so this is good. This is just good for me to know what was going on here. So you fell asleep at a really funny part where the cop comes in. The cop is a cop, so they have to let him in.
Yeah.
He wants to see what's going on in the house because they're all acting very suspicious.
Very suspicious.
And they ask one guy, here, take him on a tour of these very specific rooms that don't have dead bodies in them.
Yes.
In the meantime, they all scramble into the rooms with the dead bodies, turn on a record, and Mrs. Peacock and one other guy pick up the cook and hold her so that Mrs. Peacock is behind the cook's dead body. Mm-hmm. And then she uses her arms to like pretend that she's the arms of Miss Peacock. And it's like they look like they're making out with a guy. And then like another woman is making out. And then they put the dead body with some alcohol, so it looks like he's just passed out.
Yeah.
Right. So they're all just trying to like use these dead bodies and make it look like the bodies are alive. And they're all just like having a party.
What is the name of the term when you have sex with dead bodies and you're into it?
And you're a necrophilia.
There's necrophilia in this movie as well as homophobia.
Okay, but they're trying to like fight for their lives. They're trying to stay out of jail and keep their secrets from getting out. And so, you know, you might make out with a dead body too if it was that stood between you and jail.
Necrophilia, homophobia.
You don't know what you would do.
Sexism. They eat illegal soup. I'm sorry.
Look, don't murder your friends. Yeah. Don't murder anybody. Yeah. Don't eat shark fin soup. Like, don't have sex with dead bodies. But I'm just really sad that you don't like this movie. And I'm not going to say it's like going to come between our friendship, but like, I feel like I'm always going to remember it. Like, I'm like going to forgive you, but I'm probably not going to forget.
But this is a fun game to play. Sometimes I've only played it once in my life. I won, by the way.
Oh, great.
I love murder mystery parties. When people are into it.
Uh-huh. But you're not into it. You're the one in this whole situation who's like not into it because you're like, the decor. And I'm like, bitch, we're trying to have fun with murder.
Murder mystery parties, I think, are really fun. The thing is that all these people just wanted to leave and go home and keep committing crimes. And they weren't really that committed to finding the murderer.
Well, they wanted to not be murdered themselves. There's no better motivation to find a murderer than to try to stay alive yourself, you know?
I guess.
You know, if I told you right now that your brother Bert, who's in the house with you right now, is a murderer.
Yeah.
And was going to murder you.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you be motivated to like locate him once he left the house? Yes, you would. You know, once he, like, let's say
I have a tracker on his phone, so I know where he goes, so Okay. I'm sorry, Bethany. Bethany, I do. Okay. I know this. It's a, okay. I think maybe if I watched this movie with friends, someone else who appreciated it, and I was much drunker, mm-hmm. I would have thought it was great. I know my husband likes this movie. He's said before that's a great movie.
Well, I've always thought Neil was very, very, very wonderful and charming.
I did realize at some point that Mrs. Peacock is a crazy old lady from the now defunct television show Seventh Heaven.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The show where dad was a pedophile and also had no sideburns.
Yeah.
Two strikes against him.
Okay, Reverend pedophile.
So is there anything else in your like 27 pages of notes that you took that you want to cover?
No, it just ends with me saying I'm starting to doze and all of a sudden they're making sexual advances on dead bodies.
All right. So let's review. Uh-huh. You liked six things about this movie. You liked Miss Peacock's outfit. Mm-hmm. You liked the soup slurping. Mm-hmm. You liked that they're always drinking. Mm-hmm. You liked that they had glass decanters because it made them classy.
Yeah, it does.
You liked the joke about socialists.
Yes.
And you liked the joke about J. Edgar Hoover.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, Bethany, I am the biggest Debbie Downer right now. Can you just, like, in a couple of words, tell the gentle listeners why they would love this movie and why they should watch it on Amazon Prime? Because it's free.
It's free. It's free if you have Amazon Prime. If you are looking for brilliant comedic acting, if you love movies like if you loved Young Frankenstein, which is so freaking funny, if you loved Knives Out and you like those sort of locked room, cozy mysteries with that's a little bit more heightened, mm-hmm. this is that for you. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get scared. There's no gore. You don't see blood. It's just funny people who are experts at being funny. Being funny sometimes in very subtle ways, running around, sometimes literally running around and trying to solve a murder. And the movie gives you three alternatives to how it was done. Yeah. And it's just, it's a wonderful 90 minutes. It's a classic. It's a cult classic. I think it's required watching if you love scary movies or comedies. I think it's just a wonderful, quirky little film. It's great. And I'm just sad you didn't like it. But you know what? We all get to have our opinions on things, so it's fine.
All right. Let's do this again soon.
No, I don't.
Gentle listener, we're about to do a commercial for Beta Brand. Oh. And I don't even feel uncomfortable saying that because my favorite pairs of pants all come from Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants.
And Kathleen just blew my mind because she was like, oh, did you realize that Beta Brand is coming out with joggers now for men and women? And I'm like, oh, because I live in joggers. That's all I do. And I love them. And they look so good on everyone. And if Beta Brand has them, I'm like, okay, well, all right, I'm going to buy them all.
You know, a couple weeks ago, someone left us a voicemail that we played at the end of the podcast. And it was like, ladies, I love your commercials. And I love Beta Brand's dress pant yoga pants.
Look, if you're new to this, let me give you the straight and the skinny. Beta Brand makes dress pant yoga pants. These are pants that look professional because they are. They're professional work pants. They're crisp. They make you look pulled together. You can give a board meeting in them. However, they are as comfortable, as stretchy, and as amazing as yoga pants. And they lift your butt up while you're giving an amazing professional, you know, thing in front of all your office peers.
Yes. I'm a busy woman. I do not have time for uncomfortable pants. I just don't.
You know the feeling when you come home after wearing pants all day and you cannot wait to like unbutton the button and like just take them off? Beta Brand dress pant yoga pants are not like that. They are so comfortable and they have so many different colors and styles to choose from. They have boot cut. They have straight leg. They have skinny and cropped and eight pocket. I have the moto leggings that have like the detail on the knee, the motor detail. They have zippers that work. And now they have these new joggers.
And my favorite ever is the skinny leg merino in dark navy. It is just the most polished pant ever. I feel like Audrey Hepburn when I'm wearing it. Just a little ankle showing at the bottom.
But Audrey Hepburn was probably very uncomfortable, and you are very comfortable.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So right now, you can get 25% off of your first order when you go to betabrand.com/taste.
That's 25% off of your first order for a limited time at betabrand.com/taste.
Find out why people are buying five different pairs of these pants. Go to betabrand.com. That's betabrand.com/taste for 25% off.
These joggers really are adorable.
You're adorable.
Thank you. Bethany?
Yes.
Have you been following any of the news coming out about the new Gossip Girl on HBO Max?
No, I didn't even know there was a new Gossip Girl. Tell me everything.
Okay, well, I'm like not super well read on it because I stopped reading after the first couple sentences.
So you read the headline and then the first two sentences.
The article that I was reading was something like, in this Gossip Girl universe, and I'm like, hang on a second.
Wait a minute.
This is not freaking Marvel. Like, Gossip Girl doesn't have universes. This is just a couple years later, mother effers.
Like, is it the same cast or are they relaunching it with a different cast?
It's a different cast. Like a.
Can we stop with this already?
It's a more like Gen Z cast, diverse. There's more queer characters.
That's great.
There's
but
more
here's
people
my
of
thing.
Color. Yes.
Like, I like having a diverse cast. That's obviously what we want for everything.
Yeah.
But like, there are so many creative ideas out there.
Yeah.
That there, let's tell new stories. It's like when they came out with Ghostbusters, but ladies.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's great, but let's take all of these incredible actresses and put them in something new. And like, let's create new and more new, but whatever.
How's your skin doing? In the beginning of this episode, you said your skin's kind of dry. What's going on?
So dry. I'm not drinking enough water, apparently. I think I am, but I'm not. My skin just dried. My eyes hurt. You know, like when you feel like your eyes are made of sandpaper.
Yeah, everything's dry.
My skin is really, really dry. It's gross. It's bad. I'm not taking care of it. I'm trying. Everything's hard.
At my brother's house, I was like, wow, my skin is looking really good. Turns out that his mirror was just further away than my mirror at home. Because when I got home, I was like,
oh my God. Because you're all up in your own business. This morning, I was like, I was putting on SPF and I saw one pore was like beautifully clogged in a way that I really just wanted to get to it. Like, you know, when it's not a pimple, it's just like a blackhead that you could in theory pull out with a tweezer.
Oh my God, Bethany, that you're turning me on. Oh my God.
I know. So tonight when my skin is nice and like moist and open, I'm going to get in and get that guy.
On the plane yesterday, I was determined to stay awake because I get all sorts of jet lag problems. And so I was just drawing on my iPad the whole time, listening to the Forever 35 podcast, which is basically all about, it's just two friends who like to talk about serums. Have you ever listened to that podcast?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's really good. You should check it out. And they were just talking about different skincare routines and it was oddly calming. It was so good.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. I'm out of hyaluronic acid, which is like the one thing my skin needs right now.
That is like the new buzzword, hyaluronic acid.
Yeah, it's, you know, moisturizing. I don't know, whatever. I need it.
AHAs, BHAs, glycolic acid, hyaluronic acid, and then niacinamide.
Niacinamide.
Niacin.
Yeah, it helps clarify the skin.
I have a serum from Paula's Choice, the skincare line I really like, the niacin.
And, you know, you want to really do chemical exfoliants rather than physical exfoliants, because with physical exfoliants like St. Ives apricot scrub or Kylie's apricot scrub, you really are like tempted to scrub it into your skin. But that like breaks up your skin. It's not good. You want to do a chemical exfoliant.
I know. Yeah. Well, that's why I use my Dr. Dennis alpha, beta, hydroxy, something, something peels that like these daily chemical peels.
Those are your AHAs and your BHAs. I use a pumpkin enzyme peel from Savor Beauty Spa, K-Beauty.
I walked into a Sephora this weekend and I almost spent $1,000.
Of course you did, because that store is like crack. It's like crack cocaine.
I walked in to get the Dr. Jart pimple patches, which I really like, because the ones that have the little spikes that go into the pimple.
Yeah.
And my brother had this crazy pimple on his forehead for the entire 10 days that I was there. And I was like, Bert, you desperately need a pimple patch.
How can you focus?
So I went in to get some for him, some for me. And then I'm just looking at the wall of facial serums and creams and all this stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, there's Drunk Elephant. And then
Sunday Riley. Is it Sunday Riley?
Yes, yes, yes. Everyone, I see good things about that. But it's like $100 for a serum. I mean,
I know.
It's crazy. I get most of my stuff at Target. I like CeraVe.
I know. Yeah. I like The Ordinary is good because they're cheap. I haven't tried them yet, but I have heard, oh my God, what's the other one that's like a step above The Ordinary? I don't know. I'll remember it later and it'll drive me crazy. However.
Do you have a game for us to play?
I do. I have a game for you to play. Kathleen, this is the dumbest game I've ever made.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm down for it. I love dumb games.
Okay, good. This is a stupid game. Okay. Gentle listener, play it with your coworkers as a team building exercise. So this is a quiz. Mm-hmm. It is called Which Song Taught You This Life Lesson? Okay. So I am going to list, I believe, 9 songs.
Yeah.
That are 10 life lessons.
Okay.
And you tell me which song taught you this life lesson.
I'm down
okay?
for it. I'm down for it. Uncle Cracker taught me that it's okay to be the other woman.
And Pitbull taught me that I can rhyme Kodak with Kodak. Okay. 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 First one.
Yeah.
If you're going out with your boys, yeah. Kathleen, uh-huh. make sure your cell phone battery is fully charged yeah. and do not leave with a woman who says she's got a little place nearby. Otherwise, you will end up in misery.
Oh, God. Well, this sounds like a country song. And
it's not, actually.
It's not?
No. It's from, I would say, the early to mid-2000s.
Usher.
It's not Usher. It is. I'll give you one more chance.
Yeah. No. Go ahead. Tell me.
It is The Call by the Backstreet Boys.
Wait, get out of here.
Let me tell you a story about the call that changed my destiny. Me and my boys went out just to end up in misery. Was about to go home when there she was standing in front of me and said, hi. I got a little place nearby. Better go.
Oh, yeah. When you did that, bye. Got a little place.
Yeah.
Okay, you should have a music career. Honest to goodness, you really should. Do you want me to introduce you to my vocal coach?
No, I don't want to scare him away with the yowling that comes out of my throat. Okay, number 2, life lesson. Mm. Things like being a rocket scientist, Brad Pitt, or genius are not very impressive if you don't also have the touch.
I'm drawing a total blank.
This is closer to country.
Okay. Who's that band that, is this Bare Naked Ladies?
No, it's Shania Twain, That Don't Impress Me Much.
Oh, duh, she like launched this whole thing where she, I think her and Brad Pitt snubbed her and then she wrote a song to snub him back.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you look at it, I recently saw something about it on the internet. It was like the anniversary of this song coming out and there's a whole thing where Shania Twain and Brad Pitt are in a forever feud.
That's very funny.
Don't impress me much.
My landline is ringing.
Oh.
Hold on. Please hold.
Okay. Does anyone else have a landline? You know, Bethany and I were talking about this recently. I have a landline, and so does Bethany, but so many of my friends and family don't have landlines. But what happens when the internet or like wireless signals go down and you need to call for help? Everyone should have like a cheap Oh, you're back. Okay, thanks.
Hello.
I was just having gentle listeners and I were having a tete-a-tete about landlines.
I love a tete-a-tete. Okay, number 3.
Yeah.
In life, you're not always able to get the thing you desire. Occasionally, however, you do receive that which you need.
You do receive that which you... Kelly Clarkson.
No, it's You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Rolling Stones.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm very bad at this game.
That's okay. I feel like maybe it's boring.
No, it's not boring. Keep going. What are life lessons that I should have learned from songs? You know, when was the last time you took a look at the lyrics of your favorite song and really thought deeply about them?
Well, speaking of that, wait, no, I'm going to get to that one at the end. My favorite one we'll do at the end because those are like the deepest lyrics.
Yeah.
All right. How about this one? You are physically stunning regardless of what they say, and what they say will not bring you down.
Because I'm stronger. Then yeah,
close. Same time period, similar type of artist.
Oh, Christina Aguilera.
Yes.
And the song is
you
Candyman.
No.
Genie in a Bottle.
No. Further on in her career.
I don't know. Just
a little more soulful.
God, I don't know. Okay, just tell me.
Is the song Beautiful? You are beautiful.
Oh, you are beautiful.
Yeah. Okay.
No matter what. That song's kind of like fucked up, you know, but. I mean,
I think it's a good song.
It's a good message, but it's kind of like you're beautiful even if you're ugly.
Yeah, it's true. Even if they call you ugly, you're beautiful. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Kathleen. When playing poker, you need to know when to stay in the game, when to tap out, when to leave the table, and when to leave the table as fast as you can. What? This is an old song.
Someone's got a gambling problem.
Yeah.
Okay, give me a decade.
That's a great question. The 70s?
Oh, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to know this.
It's a pretty famous song, though.
Carly Simon.
It's by a dude.
Rod Stewart.
No. When did this come out?
Elton John.
I'll give you a hint. It's by Kenny Rogers.
I have no idea who that is.
Okay. It's called The Gambler. Have you heard the...
Okay.
You got to know when to hold him, know when to fold him, when to walk away, and when to run?
Absolutely not.
Okay. It was written in 1978. Okay.
I listen to audiobooks, girl.
Okay, 2 more. I think that these are a little bit more in your wheelhouse.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Release it. Release it. You can't push it down anymore. Walk away from the door and you know what? Slam it closed too. I'm not worried about what other people are going to say. Bring on the severe weather front. I tend to find myself keeping a neutral temperature in icy conditions anyway.
Wait, bring on the severe weather front? That is literally the lyrics to the song?
No, that's the life lesson from the song.
Oh, okay. Severe, something icy, something rain, snow.
Sure.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Think about who would sing a song about how severe weather fronts don't bother her and she maybe does okay in the cold.
Elsa.
There you go. It's Let It Go by Elsa.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I got one right.
Okay. This is the last one.
Okay.
Okay. Kathleen.
Yes.
You got to keep your mind focused on the sport. We got to keep our minds focused on the sport. You got to keep your mind focused on the sport. We got to keep our minds focused on the sport. It's from a musical.
A musical? Keep our minds focused on the sport? What kind of musical plays sports ball?
I don't know. One very specific one that may have been on a major network.
High School Musical.
Yay!
Got to get your head in the game.
Well done.
We're all in together. It's a bop.
And we're stars. Can we see that? Anyway, that's my dumb, stupid, awful game.
Oh, I feel like a burp is coming out. I'm sorry. It's like all the singing. I don't know.
Kathleen, do you want to tell us what you learned this week?
Yeah, I saved it on my phone.
Tell me.
Oh, sorry, this burp. It's really.
You could just like work it out. There it is.
So I learned via the internets, via Instagram, is that if you were cheating on someone,
yeah,
or if you're having phone conversations and text message conversations with someone that you don't want your significant other to realize you're talking to,
yeah,
all you have to do is change that person's name in your phone contacts to settings and then change their icon picture to a screenshot of the settings icon.
Of the like the gear?
Of the gear. And then so you're just going to get notifications from settings.
Does settings send you notifications?
No. Maybe. Yes. Yeah. If you need an update, like a iOS update or something.
Yeah?
Yeah. So if that person, if your significant other is glancing down at your phone and your lover, you know, your secret lover texts you, it's just going to be like notification from setting and they're not going to think twice about it.
That's good. Also make sure that you don't have like the preview pane turned on.
Yes.
So they can't read the text. Because if settings is telling you like, I can't wait to get in you tonight.
Yeah.
Like then iPhone has like, been.
Then it's a her situation. You know, that movie. Her.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix. Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
I learned that, If you do not write down a password somewhere because you're sure you're going to remember that one, you're a moron. Because I got locked out of my major password protector program.
Oh,
I forgot my master password because I was convinced I'd remember it. And so I have lost all of the passwords for some of my biggest accounts and things I need. And there are passwords that are just like gibberish things that I'm never going to remember. Because I just assumed I'd remember. I have no freaking clue. And also, did I leave myself a reminder? No. I didn't give myself a clue. Nothing. I was drinking the cocky juice that morning.
You know what, Bethany? It's really funny that your favorite movie is Clue and you did not leave yourself a clue.
I did the opposite of that movie and I did not leave a clue.
I do not envy you because now you got to go through everything. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, it's not fun. Always put it down somewhere. Otherwise, you're an idiot.
Okay.
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
I'm Web Girl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram, Radio Bethany on Twitter. And also make sure to watch Lonely Hearts. It's out. Go to lonelyhearts.love and you can watch it there. It's out. Watch it. Tell your friends.
I'm going to watch it multiple times this week just so I can see inside of your apartment.
Thanks,
because
man.
I love snooping.
Did I tell you we got nominated for an art direction award, which is great, except it's just my apartment. So like if we didn't win it, but if we had won, our art director would have gotten the award even though it was my apartment because it's just my apartment.
So it was really your award.
It's
really
zero aware. No, she didn't. You can find our podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you join the fan group.
Yes. On Instagram, we are also at Acquired Taste Podcast.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. Listen, if something that we talk about strikes a chord with you, we have a new section on our website called Letters to the Pod. So write us a letter and we'll post it on the website.
Yeah, totally. You can also send us snail mail, an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
At the end of every podcast, we play your voicemails. So call us, text us, let us know what's on your mind. Our phone number is 917-994-0353.
Our show is edited by Charlotte Gartenberg, who's a gem of a human. You can find her on Instagram at @lit_fuck or on Twitter at @Shargar.
Bethany, do the breath thing.
This week, here's your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Ooh, it's hitting good. It's hitting different and good this week.
Yeah, it's hitting deeper. Breathing into the back. I'm trying to learn how to breathe into my back.
Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. Share it with your friends. We desperately need you to tell your friends about this podcast. Please, thank you in advance. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. We finally are ranking in Denmark. We're trending in Denmark. Thank you, Hella.
Thank you so, so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. I don't think we say it enough. Thank you for listening and bringing us into your homes every week. And anything else? Anything else?
Nah.
All right.
Nah, I'm good, bro.
All right. Taste buds, this is what you had to say this week.
Hello, my friends. I literally just had to stop the podcast in the middle of the most recent episode where you're talking about movie About Time. I have a lot of big feelings in life in general, but I have a lot of big feelings about this movie. This is my absolute favorite movie of all time. It's breaking my heart a little bit. I wouldn't put it in a Bethany category, I suppose, but it's breaking my heart a little bit that she didn't even want to watch it. The immediate kind of nitpicking of the time travel. I see your point. I'm getting it now that I'm speaking. I don't even really know why I left this voicemail, but I just have such big feelings about this movie that I just had to feel like I was a part of the conversation.
Hi, ladies. Taste Bud Brianne here from Maryland, and I'm cracking up listening to the podcast this week because I eat everything off of my kids' old baby spoons. My kids are 7 and 10, so they're clearly not babies, and I still eat off their baby spoons. And yes, everything does taste better. All right, have a great rest of your week. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi, Bethany and Kathleen. It's Taste Bud, Caitlin, and are just listening to the most recent episode on my way to go get a root canal, and I'm really, really nervous about it. But I heard you guys mention L.A. seeing the Milky Way for the first time, and I grew up in Cleveland and then moved to Vermont for law school, and the first night I was walking home drunk from the bar and looked up and saw the Milky Way, I, like, freaked out and went and got my roommate, and we both laid in the grass just staring at the Milky Way because neither one of us had either seen it before. So I just wanted to say, if you do want to see the Milky Way, Vermont's not too far from you guys in New York. So thanks. Bye.
Hi, ladies. This is Kayla from Connecticut. I needed to call because I was driving down the road, and I think I saw a spirit or a ghost or something. I don't know. I needed to call because I knew that this was the only place that wouldn't think that I was nuts. But as I was driving, I saw, like, this blurred spot on the side of the road, and I, like, immediately just felt my heart sink into my stomach, and I slowed down to look into the rearview mirror as I passed it, and it wasn't there anymore, but I don't know. Is that a ghost? I don't know what it is. But I just needed to call and tell someone because I'm just startled.
Hey, girls. It's Alicia from Alabama. I am a long-time listener of the show, first-time caller. I just wanted to say today is currently October the 29th, the day before Halloween, and it has literally been the day from hell. And I just wanted to call and
call in and say thank you so much for your podcast. It has cheered me up so much. Like I said today, it's been stressful and unbelievably hard. And I just wanted to say thank you, and I've enjoyed it so, so much listening to the podcast. Also, I wanted to talk about, I wanted to say about the song that you would use to haunt somebody. I think my haunting song would be Eye of the Tiger, and I would just keep playing over and over Eye of the Tiger through the fight. I would do that part over and over again.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen and all the taste buds. This is Tracy from Syracuse. I just finished listening to the Loosey Goosey bonus episode, and I just had to call in and add something. So I don't technically work in HR, but being part of the training department, that kind of falls underneath the HR umbrella. So I get to see everybody's full official name. So like the Jennifers, the Thomases, the Christophers. And I always have to ask people, like, what do you prefer to be called? I always just, you know, go with the full name just to be on the safe side, especially if I'm not familiar with the employee. And please have a preference, you know, with your name. Like, if you go by Chris, say Chris. Like, don't say, you know, whatever you want to call me. You know, like, I have a preference. Well, I mean, my name is only Tracy. You don't really shorten that much. But have a preference. Like Kathleen, you like to go by Kathleen, not Kathy. Like, don't assume. Well, I mean, we're not saying you want to assume, but just, you know, let people know what you want. You know, like, it's kind of frustrating when you're just like, whatever you want. I'm like, please. Chris or Christopher? Like, have a preference. Please and thank you. This is a little stupid. I don't know. But, yeah, it's frustrating on my end because, like, I would have a preference if it were me. So I just wanted to share my end of that.
Hi, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Taste Bud Rachel calling from Levittown, Pennsylvania. I had to give you a call because I was catching up on some of my favorite TV shows over the weekend. And one show I follow is called AP Bio. I think it's on Peacock right now, but basically a former Harvard professor has to get stuck teaching a bunch of high school students biology. But for this past season's finale, they celebrate Katie Holmes Day. They're actually based in Toledo, Ohio, and I think that's where Katie is from. So they make it a whole event where everyone dresses up as Katie Holmes and they reenact how she was discovered for Dawson's Creek. I thought that Kathleen would especially appreciate it and might want to check it out. But it's absolutely perfect, and of course they close the episode with, I don't want to wait. So I figured you might want to check it out.